All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here to dig deeper with you into the book of Revelation. This week we are looking at chapter 17, starting with the last part of verse 6, going through verse 14. When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come." This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. So far our text this week. As we look at this, there you would think would be a whole lot, and there is, and I am not going to go into all of especially verse 10 and all of the many different ways that has been done, but we will suffice it to say that the seven kings, the five who have fallen, the one is, and the other is to come. They have been seen as the Roman emperors around John's time. They have been seen as the major world empires, starting with either the Egyptians or the Assyrians, one or the other. And all of these things have been talked about, and there is no real answer to it. So we'll get that out of the way right now. But let's look at what it is that makes John marvel. Dr. Brighton says, "As John now looks at the beast, the angel further describes it as the beast that was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss, and it goes away into destruction. The first time that John saw this beast, one of its heads was mortally wounded, and then the head was healed. The ability of the beast, either partially with one of its heads or in its whole being, to be resuscitated or even resurrected time and time again, moved the inhabitants of the earth to marvel and be awestruck. The beast and what it represents comes and goes in one form or another throughout the entire period from Christ's ascension up to the end at Christ's return. The beast disappears in one particular makeup or disguise, and then rises up in another form and entity to plague the Church of Christ. Human institution of every kind, and isms of all sorts come and go. As symbolized by the beast, they last for a while as terrifying threats to the saints of God, but then they disappear, only to be replaced by other entities under the control of the dragon." So what is it that this beast that was and is not and is to come? That is basically everything that is Antichrist, everything that is anti-Christian, whether it is communism, Nazism, paganism, you know, pick your ism, pick your human institution that has tried to derail the church. All of these things come and go. They come up in different forms in different places, but all of them have the root in the same thing. And so the angel says, this calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. Well, this is obviously a talk about Rome, because Rome is the city on seven hills. And many of her authors and poets proudly declare that throughout their writings. So this is not a really veiled thing. It is definitely talking about Rome being the beast at that time in John's day. Now, what does that mean for the seven kings? Well, it's, you know, up in the air. It is whatever God meant for it to be. Because yes, the idea that Rome could be the sixth world empire that is, and there's another one yet to come, or that it is falling and it is the fifth, and like I said, there's all kinds of ideas as to what all this means. But what we want to deal with a little more is verse 11. As for the beast that was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. This is where Nero comes into the picture over and over again in the commentaries. The Nero redivivus myth, that Nero didn't die, or he died and was raised and is coming back with the Parthians to invade Rome. This can be one of the ideas, but again, Nero didn't bother to come back with the Parthians because Nero was dead. But Dr. Brighton says, attempting to match a list of seven kings from the Roman Empire or from world empires with the seven kings in verses 9 to 10 does not yield a satisfactory result. One must seek elsewhere for a solution to the mystery of the seven kings and the beast itself as the eighth. The most that can be said for the above schemes, which Dr. Brighton goes through in a little bit of detail, is that even if one could satisfactorily make such matching identifications, they would only serve as models or types of all such earthly rulers and the powers they exercise. So it is still just a type. Even if you could come up with all of them and identify each and every one of them, they're still just a type of all the things that are there. So that's the seven heads and the beast that is the eighth of those kings. The ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power. And they will receive authority for 1 hour together with the beast. Dr. Brighton, who is the only one I have good comments from this week, because everybody else just kind of repeats what he says, because I'm sure he has seen most of the other commentaries and kind of conglomerated a lot of them into his. But he says, because these kings do not claim spiritual and divine sanction for their ruling power and authority, these ten kings most likely are not Roman emperors. They could be lesser kings or rulers dependent on Roman sponsorship for their governing positions. For example, the Herodian kings of Palestine or the rulers of Egypt. These ten kings did not yet receive a kingdom, for they do not possess their own authority and power to rule. However, the implication is that at any time in the future, these ten kings may become independent of Rome and thus acquire their own kingship. And this is one of the other great mysteries, is that these ten kings that aren't quite kings yet, they will all make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The Lamb here in chapter 17, verse 14, is identified as the Lord of lords and King of kings, which is the Son of Man's designation that he will use when he comes in judgment at the end in chapter 19. Because of this identification, the victory of the Lamb over the beast and its kings could be viewed as taking place at the end. And this is one of those where is the only other place that King of Kings and Lord of Lords is. That is 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 13, where Paul writes to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen nor can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. These are some great words to end on this week, as yes, we see all of this, we see and we want to marvel at the beast and the prostitute on the beast. But ultimately, in the end, it is Jesus who comes out the victor over all of them, over every single force of evil. Jesus will reign supreme as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll see a little bit more about this next week as we look at the judgment of the prostitute and how everything falls apart for her. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, digging deeper in the scriptures with me, as we equip ourselves to wrestle with the theologies around us. Amen.